The Snow Crab fleet is in a race against time. The Bering Sea has been covered in record-setting ice since the season got underway in January, and with just a few weeks left, fishermen still have millions of pounds of snow crab to catch. As KUCB's Stephanie Joyce reports, boats are going to extremes to finish in time with a little help from a tugboat stationed on St. Paul Island.
It's 11:30 on a Friday night when tugboat captain Dave Childers gets the call. The fishing vessel Stormbird is stuck in the ice about 6 miles south of St. Paul.
I got too far into this, and to go back around there would have been brutal. So we're doing about 2 knots right now, and but I can't tell what's going on in front of me.
Yeah, okay. We'll come out there and make a run line your way and see what we can do.
Childers plots a course to the distressed vessel on his navigation screen and throws the 67-foot readout into reverse. The first part of the trip is through open water, and the tug clips along briskly in the darkness. Then...
let the beatings begin.
The ice is actually pretty broken up, big 2-foot-thick pancakes with open water in between them. But it's still slow going. Every time the bow rams a big chunk, the tug lurches to a standstill, and everyone in the wheelhouse pitches forward. But Childers isn't fazed.
This here is gravy train. I think one of the worst ones we did was with the Wizard and the Alaska Spirit, and went out about 15 miles southwest, and it took us 8 hours to get back in with them. That was a nightmare trip.
Childers has dozens of other stories like that from this winter, when the Bering Sea broke every ice record on the books. He's had to deal with 2-story slush waves and ice stacked 6 feet thick. Some days it would take him hours just to get from one side of St. Paul's Harbor to the other.
I've had my handed to me a few times up here this year. I've got a nice dose of humility going. Thank you.
Even on this gravy run, the ice doesn't cooperate.
Little piece of ice in the wheel there. Tried to shut one of the main engines down.
By now, the Stormbird's floodlights are clearly visible on the horizon, beaming through the otherwise pitch-black night.
Readout, you coming?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, Dave. I have a lot of buddies that you've done miraculous things for, so I appreciate this.
I don't know if I'd call it miraculous or not, but yeah, we're happy to come out and help.
Yeah, well, when you're on this side of it, miraculous is a small word.
Childers may laugh, but he's fully aware of how much the crabbers are depending on him to be able to deliver their catch.
Coming out here one time to meet one of the boats, and he was in some pretty ugly stuff. You know, it was pretty bad, and we got out here to him, and he said it was nice to see us. I told him, I said, man, you pick rough neighborhoods to play in. He said, if it wasn't for friends like you, I wouldn't be in places like this.
When the boats finally meet, it's past 1 o'clock in the morning. Childers noses up to the Stormbird, throws the rudder full port, and flips around so the tug is facing back towards town. An hour and a half later, the two boats churn their way past the last ice pancakes and into open water.
I couldn't have got through there without you. Have a good evening, and thanks a million.
You bet.
The Stormbird's captain is right. He probably couldn't have made it without the readout. Having the tug in St. Paul means fishermen can make the deliveries their livelihoods depend on. But it also means pushing the limit, for better or for worse. Reporting in St. Paul, I'm Stephanie Joyce.